And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there became a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. How amazing is that?
Yes.
And they were all amazed and marveled, saying no one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Perithians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia. I can't read half of these. And in Egypt anyway, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing that it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which spoken to the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit among all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your men, young men, shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapour of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord coming. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear those words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope.
Praise God. Thank you. Praise God. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered together in one place. Hallelujah. And they were of one accord. Praise God. You know where the Bible says, that in the psalm it says, where brethren dwell together in unity, there God commands the blessing, life forevermore. Praise his wonderful name. Pentecost really means it's the number 50, 50 days. This was a time of when all the Jews came back to Jerusalem to have a time of feasting and rejoicing and celebration. And so they were, it was one of the feast weeks that they came back on. This is amazing how God's timing for all these things comes into place. Absolutely amazing what God has planned before you and I existed. Glory to God. And this is a time of thanksgiving. It's a time of bringing the first fruits in at this annual festival of thanksgiving to God. And it's on that day, that weekend, that the Holy Spirit came. It's on that day that the first fruits began to be seen in the church. Praise God. And I was just looking at, we're just celebrating the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, aren't we? And I suddenly felt Pentecost. Now, I know these days it moves a bit, doesn't it, date-wise, a little bit. So, I googled June 1952. Do you know the Queen was crowned on Pentecost? She crowned on Pentecost. You know, she has taken her vows and has honoured God and has stood on faith and believed God. She's not had the easiest run at times within her own family, but she has stood and she's always said that it is her faith in God that has kept her and brought her through. And I thought, when I looked, because she took this very seriously. She said that she would serve this nation, she would take this upon her, not as a job, but as a lifelong commitment to serve this nation and to serve God. So, you know, it's difficult, I suppose, at times for her to declare some of the things that she believes in this age that we live in. But I believe that she's endeavoured to stand on the promises and the Word of God, and she's been steadfast, even in very difficult times within her own family. And I thank God that we have a queen that we can look up to and thank God for, and that she stood for the faith. And she, you know, many times she's spoken out. And so we just praise God for that. But it was just that thing of, wow, at Pentecost. You see, she was taken, during that service, she was taken into a chapel. And out of the sight of everybody else, she was anointed as queen. She was anointed and appointed and sanctified for the role and service. And part of that was that commitment unto God. And I thank God for that. But for us now, the time of Pentecost is a time when the Lord wants to fill us. And when we look at this detailed information here in the book of Acts of what happened at the day of Pentecost, it says that the disciples, 120 of them, were gathered into the upper room. They were, you know, they were locked inside. Yeah. They've been praying. They've been spending time waiting upon God. Yeah. They weren't feasting, they were praying. They were seeking God and calling upon God, because the Lord said to them, tarry and wait in Jerusalem until you are endued, till you are filled with power. You see, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was an outpouring of power of God into the church. And so we thank God for that. And so, speaking in tongues, and it's quite a coincidence maybe, that this last week we just finished the gifts of the Spirit. And we need to begin to continue to press in and to seek God for the gifts of the Spirit, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that we be filled, and that not just filled, but filled to overflowing. That there is an outward flow And that it is touching lives and changing lives as we journey with the Lord. If we just turn to chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. And in Ephesians there he tells us, you know, part of our inheritance, and it says, do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. The power of the Spirit is that we would not be partakers of evil things, but we would be partakers of the goodness of God, and that we would expose the things of this world and let the light of God come in. If we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2. And Paul here is saying, For one who speaks in a tongue that does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. So when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are speaking mysteries unto God. It is a time, a way of release of the presence and the power of God. Now, in the book of Acts, when the disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost, it says they were filled and they spoke in the dialects of where their Jewish brothers and sisters were living, that had come to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast time. And so, as Robert read those, I'm glad I gave you that bit, Robert, I'd forgotten about all those lovely names and those places and countries and peoples, you know. Yeah, I did well there, didn't I? Praise God. Hallelujah. And you did as well. Bless the Lord. And so all of these Jewish people that were living in all of these different places were speaking the local language. When they came to Jerusalem suddenly, and bear in mind some of these people were probably brought up to speak mainly the local language where they were living, and suddenly they are hearing these people, men and women, who were Galileans. I think what it's trying to say there is they were uneducated. Yeah. You know, they couldn't speak Egyptian. They didn't understand that language. They didn't understand Greek and so on. And they weren't understanding the Medes and the Parthians, etc. They didn't understand that language. But yet they were speaking clearly the language, and they were carrying the message to those people. And the people were drawn to hear the story. And do you know what they were doing? Not only were they telling the story of Jesus being crucified, well, Peter told that, but they were telling them, reminding them of the fact of the Old Testament, of the stories of when they were in Egypt, how God delivered them out of Egypt, how God set them free, how God had blessed them, how Abraham had been the father of the nation. And they were being reminded of how God had moved on their behalf. Remember, the New Testament wasn't written. It was all Old Testament stuff. And you know, that day, 3,000. In one day. You know, you might look around and say, there's just a few of us. There's just a few of us. But let's press in to the presence. Let's press in to the presence and the Spirit of God. And that day will come. I don't know how he does it. How did he do it at Pentecost? There was just the outpouring of the Spirit of God, and suddenly, revival. The church was birthed in a new dimension. And today God has made a promise that he will build his church, and the gates of hell that shall not prevail against it. And so the church needs to begin to move into the things of the Spirit. That's why we've been teaching on the gifts of the Spirit and begin that we would begin to move and desire. You see, our desire is so important that if we what we desire the most is what we will go for. We will chase it. You know, there's a young lady that comes into the church occasionally and her strongest desire is for vodka. That's her desire. She will walk miles to get it or to get the money to get it. I know that. And that desire drives her. It just drives her. It wears her down. She's losing weight. It's just taking life. That desire is driving her so much. And yet, you know, if you and I had such a desire for the things of God, think how much that would drive us on into the things of God. But you see, the enemy would seek to distract you and me. Have you found that? Have you found that the enemy would seek to distract you, to knock you off track? To delay you in your journey? To hinder you in your journey? Even to captivate you and bring you down? I know I have. And we have to push through. We have to fight that battle. We have to press through. And we have to make sure that our focus and our anticipation and our desires are focused on God. And as we focus on Him and as we desire Him, then He begins to move in mighty, mighty ways. Amen. See, God will always honour His word. Five is the number of God's grace. Thank God for His grace. You know, if it wasn't for God's grace, I would not be here. But it's His grace. One is the number of the Father, God Almighty. Two, the number for the Son. Three, the Holy Ghost. Four is for creation. And five, redemption. God's grace redeeming us back to Himself. Praise God. These are the five great mysteries that God... Who is God? Who is Father God? How do we know Him? How can we experience Him? By the Spirit. Only through the Spirit. You see, number four is really the number of the world, of creation. Man's weakness. But when you take four and you add the one to it, making five... God's grace begins to mediate on behalf of man and begins to minister into us. Number one is that cardinal number. It's the meaning of unity. When the disciples gathered together, it says, and they were of one accord. You know, these are not accidental sayings. These are not accidental happenings. These are determined to bring the church, to bring us to that place where we come together as one accord, one place, one purpose, one vision, one goal to see God glorified, to see the Lord Jesus uplifted and magnified. And we see that. So that in our weaknesses, then we are made perfect. In our frailty, we are made whole and perfect in Him. Praise His wonderful name. But you see, it's all by God's divine assistance. I can't do it on my own. I cannot do it on my own. None of you can. They're by the grace of God. Would we be going down the wrong road, traveling in the wrong direction, following the wrong thing. But by God's grace, He brings us to that place of coming to Him. Five we have. 10. 5 times 10 is 50. 10 is the symbolic number of divine perfection. His grace and His divine perfection coming into our lives. It's that it signifies God's divine order. You see, God is a God of order. Night follows day. Always. You never get 2 days. You never get two light days. All, you know, night follows day. God does it in divine order. And God has set things in motion. He's set things in motion for our lives. You see, 10 is the number of divine order. It's the number of completeness of the kingdom of God. So grace and God's completeness come together for you who are the church of Jesus Christ. And God wants to pour into you His Spirit. So Pentecost was an important time. Pentecost is still an important time. But you know, we can have Pentecost every day. We can have that Pentecost experience every day. When the devil seeks to get you down, when circumstances are going against you, begin to praise Him in tongues. Begin to worship Him in that unknown tongue. And the devil doesn't know what you're saying. Because you have a heavenly language. And you can begin to worship God, and the devil's like, what are they saying? What are they talking about? What's he saying? What's she saying? We're just lost in worship, magnifying Him. You know, the early church, the Orthodox Church, believed in the infilling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And were very much locked into it. It's only when the Western Church began, when it separated during the collapse of Rome, and then the Roman Empire separated, the Eastern Church was still being filled with the Spirit, was still moving in the realm of the Spirit, but the Western Church went into secularism. And we need to realize that God wants the church back to Himself, that God is Spirit. And we need to communicate with God in spirit and in truth. And as we communicate with God, God will move in our lives. You know, the number 10. Remember the Old Testament? 10 commandments. Hallelujah. But in the New Testament, in John's Gospel, and this is a great study to look at sometime. But in John's Gospel, there are 10 I Ams. What's your problem? See, I am. John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 35, and Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Amen. Are you hungry and thirsty? Then come to the bread of life. Are you in need? Then come to the bread of life. In verse 51 of that same chapter, He said, I am the living bread. This bread's living, breathing. It's powerful, it's different, it's anointed. In John's Gospel in chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You know, when Moses met with God for the first time and God commissioned him, he said, who shall I send? Who shall I say is sending me? What's your name? That's what he's saying. What's your name? He said, say, I am. Has sent you. And so this is no coincidence in John's Gospel when Jesus begins to declare the I Ams of Himself. Verse in John's Gospel 18, chapter 8 and verse 18, he says, I am one that bear witness of myself. Verse chapter 10 and verses 7 and to 9, he said, I am the door of the sheep. Hallelujah. Verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. Praise his wonderful name. Chapter 10 and verse 36, and he goes on and says, I am the Son of God. Praise God. And then he steps it up even more in chapter 11 and verse 25 when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. If you don't know Jesus as your own personal Savior, you've not yet got life. Because he said, in knowing him, the resurrection and the life. In chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. Praise God. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other way. See, the Bible is not a religion. It's a way. It's a lifestyle. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. You know, we talk to people and they say, well, oh, I'm not religious. And I say, no, neither am I. And they look at me, well, you go to church. Yeah, but I'm not religious. I'm a disciple. I'm a disciplined follower of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not religious. Religious is that you just do things automatically. You know, I religiously do that every day. You know, I religiously brush my teeth every day. Yeah? What does that make me? A good boy. Fresh breath. See, we religiously do things, you know what I mean? Some people will religiously have a certain thing for breakfast every day, don't they? So it's a word that gets used and it's misused. I'm not religious. I don't religiously come to church. I come to church because I want to fellowship with my brothers and sisters. I come to church primarily. I want us all together to meet with God. I want us to come together to meet in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to come together and feel the touch of His hand upon my life, and together we feel that move of God and that power of God that flows. I want us to come together so that we can impart to one another the presence, the power, the anointing, the words of Almighty God, that we might share the things of the kingdom and see God magnified and glorified. That's what I want to see. That's the power, that's the presence of God. That's not being religious. That's following the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11 said to Jesus, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. You know, this is a prophetic word that John is speaking. He's talking of 3 years' time. He's prophesying into the future. The day hasn't arrived. For man, the day has not yet been written, but for God it's written. It's established. It's certain.
Amen.
And God is doing it.
Amen.
And on the day of Pentecost, it says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and cloven tongues appeared upon them. Can you imagine that? Oh, just imagine the place, 120 people crowded together waiting on God, and suddenly the glory comes down. The glory comes down. Remember Moses, when Moses used to meet God at the tent of meeting outside the camp? What happened there? The glory came down. And when he came out, he was still on fire. He was still radiating the presence of Almighty God. And the people said, whoa, Moses, keep back, keep away, cover your face. We cannot. We dare not. We dare not look upon that glory, upon that presence that you have been with, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. They dare not look upon it. Today God wants you to look into His face.
Amen.
When I look into His holiness. Hallelujah. To see Him face to face. This is God's plan. This is God's appointments for each and every one of you. That you would see Him face to face. That you would be filled by His Spirit and filled to overflowing. That you would be empowered with boldness and strength, wisdom and knowledge and revelation, signs and wonders and miracles. It's in the book. We've been studying it this last few weeks.
Yeah.
It's there for us.
Yeah.
Desire it. With such a desire. And when all of that has happened, Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 9, He said, "Then go ye therefore to all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost."
Amen.
You see, He gave them that commission. They hadn't met the Holy Ghost at that point in time.
No.
They had not got the Holy Ghost experience. It was a little bit later, as they tarried and waited. In John's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 38. See, this is Jesus constantly reminding His disciples, this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to be. And He says to them, "He that believeth on Me..."
Yeah.
On who? Jesus. "He that believeth on Jesus, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water."
Yeah.
These are spiritual rivers.
Yeah.
This is not you gushing out water. If it was, there'd be something desperately wrong with you, wouldn't there? But this is a supernatural outpouring of God pouring through you.
Amen.
That you will pour out of the things of God. You will be speaking the mysteries of God. You'll be revealing to the world around you God. There is no other way. God is looking at each and every one of us and He's calling our name. And God is saying, "I want to pour more into you." And God is saying, "Are you willing? Are you open? Are you ready to receive?" He's not saying, "Are you perfect yet?" He just says, "Are you willing? Are you ready to receive?" Verse 39 of that same chapter in John's Gospel, chapter 7, and it says this. But this Jesus was speaking of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which they that believed on Him should receive. Not might, not maybe, but should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And once Jesus had been crucified and died, and hell could not hold Him, and Father God called His name, and He arose from the dead victorious, triumphed over sickness, disease and hell, and sin, and conquered it. He rose and He ascended to the right hand of the Father, and at that point began to dispatch the Holy Spirit that would minister to the whole world and would speak the mysteries of God, would speak what has been said in the throne room of God about the circumstances and situations and of the lives of people that we meet in our daily journey. That we would reveal the mysteries. We would reveal the secrets. And in it, God and the Lord Jesus will be glorified. There's power in the name of Jesus, and there's power in the Holy Ghost. In John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 26, and Jesus tells them, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name." See, Jesus knows all these things are lined up. Jesus knows that God has all these things prepared for us. That word comforter means to be a bit of a goad, a bit of a prodder. To come on, let's get going. Come on. We can get so comfortable. We can be afraid at times of circumstances and situations. The Lord's saying, come on, let's do it. Together. Remember Peter. A little girl. Little teenage girl servant. And nobody. We don't even know her name. She's a nobody. He said, "You were one of His disciples, weren't you?" You know. And he starts to curse and to swear. And he runs off when challenged by a little servant girl. Look what happened at the day of Pentecost. Amen. When he was filled with power by the Holy Spirit. Amen. You see, so many people just think, oh, it's about speaking in tongues. No, that's one of the outward showings. But that infilling is to infill you and to give you power and authority, to confirm it upon you, that you would then begin to move in that presence and that power and that authority that Jesus has given you through the Holy Ghost, through His death and through His resurrection. And you know, Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 20 and verse 22, and when He had said these things to them, He breathed upon them and said unto them, "Receive the Holy Ghost," the breath of God. You know, when they, in the Old Testament, in the early part of the Old Testament, when they wanted to know who God was, when they tried to speak His name was, I thought about that one for a while. And I remembered that when God made Adam, just imagine this picture. There's this body, Adam. God's man, laid on the ground, lifeless, never moved. And God bends down. God, and it says, and God breathed into him. Do you know what God did? God told him his name. He whispered his name into him. And he became a living soul. He was made in the image of Almighty God. And I just think, wow. And you know, God wants to just breathe into you. Breathe into you fresh and quicken you and anoint you and fill you, that you might realize even more that you are his child. You are his son and daughter. That he has called you by name. He has appointed you and he has prepared to fulfill his plans and purpose in you. And he wants to fill you to full and overflowing. Praise his wonderful name. That's what God wants to do. It says in Acts chapter 1 and 5, it says, "For truly John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now," he said. Hallelujah. And so they were gathered together waiting for that outpouring. They were gathered together in that upper room. And then on that great day, as they were gathered together, it says they were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost that came upon them. And the Lord is faithful to his word. Today, if you're desiring the things of the Spirit, if you're desiring God to fulfill you, to fill you and to overflow in you, God will do it. Now, I remember when we were in Romania and we taught on the gifts and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We said, you know, if you don't get it right now, tonight, you may go home and you may suddenly wake up in the middle of the night and be speaking in tongues. And one lady did that. She was dreaming. She was dreaming. She was drinking at a well. And she woke up. And when she woke up, she was speaking in tongues and praising God. It transformed her life. It empowered her and quickened her. But you know, you have to keep being filled. You can't just keep giving out and not receiving. You have to keep receiving and filling. It's a flow. It's a flow. It's a flow that you and I have to come to. And so Pentecost for us today is a place of power. It's a time of God's anointing. It's a time when God wants to move in your life. It's a time when God wants to fill you to full and overflowing. But you know, you've got to start praising God in your own tongue first. You know, some people say, "I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit," and they stand in church. And when it comes to prayer, they stand like this.
Yeah.
You need shaking up.
Yeah.
You need to begin to say, "Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I just want to praise you, Lord." Until you get to that point where you've run out of words, and then suddenly the Holy Ghost begins to move and give you new words and a new language and a new experience of relationship to him, and you become to be full and overflowing, and there's a gusher, and you begin to pour out unto God. But you've got to start using what you've already got.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you use what you've already got, says, "I'm going to give to you," pressed down,
yeah,
shaken together,
amen,
and running over.
Amen.
God will minister that into our lives in such a powerful way. I remember my experience of being filled with the Spirit. I'd been prayed for a number of times. You know, they used to shake you and rub your head and say this, you know, what have you, bless them. All good intentions. And you went out feeling that, well, something happened, but that wasn't it all. And I kept going back because I wasn't satisfied, because there was a hunger and there was a thirst inside of me for more. And I remember the day that one Saturday evening at Maltby Church, and they said at the beginning of the service, Saturday night service, we were having a receiving meeting after service. They never did that. It was always Saturday afternoon in the break. Never on an evening. Well, I couldn't get to, well, I tried to get to the afternoon meeting. I couldn't find the church. I was about to go home on the motorbike. The church was round a back street somewhere. You could hardly find it, could you? And I'm like, I'm going home. I'd made my mind up to go home. And guess what happened? You know, initially you would have said, the devil's given me a flat tire. I got a puncture in the rear wheel. Oh, man. You know what I mean? Here I am trying to get to church. Can't find the place. Now I've got a puncture. I'll never find it. So there I am. I am repairing the tire. You could do in those days. Putting a new inner tube in. And I've just about finished. And my pastor walks by. And says, hey, son. He always called me son. What are you doing? I'm greased up to the eyes with a chain. You remember them days, eh? I'm like, I've just had a flat tire. I was trying to find the church and I can't find it. Then he said to me, just down the road, turn right and right again and it's there. Oh, okay. So I finished off and I went there with black hands, greased up like I don't know what. And I just got in as service was beginning to start and I sat right at the back. And that's when they announced it. I have no idea what the guy preached on that night. All I could think was, hurry up, sit down. Because God has spoken to me when I sat down and said, tonight is your night.
Amen.
And then they made that announcement and he said, tonight is your night. And when that guy got up to preach, John Shelbourne, I'm thinking, you know, he had a big ministry. And I'm thinking, I wish he'd hurry up and sit down. I hadn't got a clue what he said. And I went into that back room. And there were three of us went in there and he began to pray for us. And the presence and the power of God just fell upon me. And I began to speak in tongues and glorify the Lord. I went home filled and drunk as a skunk in the Spirit of God on a motorbike. I went round a tight left-hand bend. I went round at a speed that you're not supposed to go round it at. I know that because I suddenly realised, well, the angels must have been out there thinking, keep him up, keep him up, keep him up, keep him up. I got home.
Amen.
But I knew I was filled. I felt empowered.
Amen.
I felt touched by Almighty God.
Amen.
I felt a new beginning within me. Hunger and thirst. Desire the things of God. Pentecost is not just a one-off. It's the beginning of that intimate journey with God. And God is not going to hold out on you. God is not going to hold away from you. God wants you to have everything that He has. He wants to fill you to full and overflowing. He wants you to know His peace, His joy. He wants you to know the power of living in a real relationship with Him. Not a religious one, but a real relationship. Knowing Him, hearing His voice. And I know some folks say, well, how do you know? How can you hear God's voice? You hear by the Spirit. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And Jesus never lied. And so if Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, then we should be able to begin to hear the voice of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Speaking to us.
Amen.
That's the intention. That's God's plan. Because when we get into a difficult situation, when we get into a... Well, the Word says that, you know, that He, the Holy Spirit, will give you the words to speak. He'll give you words that you never even heard of. He'll give you the ability to speak in a situation and circumstance that is out of your abilities and level, because it comes from Almighty God. So He will give you the words to speak, unplanned, unrehearsed, just anointed and appointed for His praise and for His glory. And you'll see victory. You'll see victory coming in the name of Jesus. Let's just pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for this time of Pentecost as we remember. But Lord, not just remember, but Lord, we say, Lord, do it again. Do it again, Lord, in each and every one of us. Lord, give us a fresh outpouring. Lord, I pray that we would desire so much to be filled with Your Spirit. And that, Lord, Your Holy Spirit would just come amongst us and begin to touch and begin to fill to overflowing, O God. Father, let us just be joined together in such unity, Lord, that there will be such a flow of Your power in our lives, O God, just flowing through us, just pouring out of us, O God. Fill us, O God. Burn up all the things that are not of You. Burn up everything that is not of You, O God, and just draw us closer to You. Pour in us, O God, we pray. Fill us, O God, to overflowing. As we just call upon Your name, fill by Your Spirit. Pour out into us, O God. Lay upon us, O God, garments of praise, that the spirit of heaviness will be gone from us, O God. Let that anointing just begin to pour into us. Begin to light a new fire in each and every one of us, O God. Lord, where the fire has gone out, Father, breathe, O breathe. Thy Spirit amongst us, O God. Breathe, O God. Blow again, fan the flames in our lives. Burn up all the distrust, all the pain, the anxiety and the stress, and the hurts from the past, O God. Yeah. And pour into us, I pray, O God, a new outpouring, a new freshness of Your Spirit, Father. Come, Holy Spirit. Just move, we pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh. Fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill us, O God, for Your glory. Kira magashya kanda ramandaya, istamoro gushukuri andaya. Lord, let the light and the glory come. Let Your presence come, O God. Jesus. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh. fall afresh, O Lord. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Wonderful Jesus. Praise God. Just reach out right now, where you are. Just call upon the Lord. Just call upon Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to rejoice. Let that blood of Jesus just be that cleansing, that healing power. Fill, we pray, Father, by your Spirit. Fill, O God. Jesus. Oh, Lord, I just praise you. I just worship you, O God. Just magnify your name. Thou art the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and I will bless your name. Give you praise. Jesus. Hallelujah. Wonderful Savior. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh. Fall afresh, O God. Father, I just pray that the desires for you, Lord, will be met. Lord, let us be a people that are hungering and thirsting after you. Yeah. That we might be filled with your glory. Yeah. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen.